Welcome to Spamageddon. This is a special five-part crossover series between the Email After Hours podcast and the Do This Not That podcast. We're going to keep these short. They're going to be fun. They're going to be awesome.
We're teaming up to help marketers battle the ultimate inbox apocalypse. Is your email program doomed? Or can you survive the invasion of spam filters, block lists, and dwindling engagement?
In this special series, we're going to bust myths, drop truth bombs, and give you the tips you need to survive the deliverability doomsday.
All right, so your host, you got me, Jay Schwedelson from the Guru Media Hub and the Do This Not That podcast, and...
I'm Guy Hansen. I'm VP of Customer Engagement at Validity and co-host of our Email After Hours podcast.
And I'm Danielle Gallant, also of Validity, and Guy's better half on the Email After Hours podcast.
Spamageddon, we are here. I'm so excited. We're going to be ripping through today email deliverability myths. But before we get into that, every time we start one of these special segments, we're playing a game called You Have 10 Seconds. It has nothing to do with email or marketing. It is the dumbest questions of the world. And I'm going to ask it to Guy, and then I'm going to ask it to Danielle. And it's not the same question. So everybody play at home. Let's see how you do. So Guy, you only have 10 seconds to answer this question. Are you ready for the question?
I'm bricking myself, but let's go.
All right, here it is. You have 10 seconds. Name four things, four foods that you dip in ranch dressing.
Oh, man. So I guess it's got to be maize crisps. I think you can dip fries into ranch dressing. You could dip chunks of burger into ranch dressing. And what? You know what? You can dip your fingers into ranch dressing.
I don't know what a maize crisp is, but I'm going to try it out. That sounds gross and
amazing. That was the most British answer to the most American question I've ever heard.
100%. All right, Danielle, are you ready for your 10-second question?
I'm terrified. Let's do it.
Here we go. Danielle, name five pop stars who go by only one name.
Cher, Madonna.
Come on.
I don't know.
Come on. We need another one.
Guy, please help me.
Bono, Queen, Prince.
Oh, there it is.
This feels Lady like Gaga, I'm being subjected to those like fast math tests that you had to do. I'm going to get better over the series, guys.
Well, while we may not have crushed that with Guy saying use your finger in ranch dressing, which is totally gross, we are going to crush this. So let's jump right into it. Danielle, I got the first myth I want to ask you. Spam trigger words, things like the word free and all this other stuff. Is it true or false that this is what is causing you to go to the junk folder and hurting your deliverability?
It's not true. It's probably false. It is really unlikely. Heuristics or those keywords, phrases, whatever that used to trigger spam filtering, those are kind of dated. It's not really a thing anymore, but they definitely used to be. So unless your email is like riddled with alternative fonts or every bad word in the book, or is maybe written by, you know, an international scammer, those keywords or phrases aren't going to be your big problem. Really, if subscribers are engaging positively with your mail and you've set a good foundation, you're probably good.
Guy, you agree with all that?
I do. I mean, I think those words still have a role to play, but not because of spam filters, you know, with rules which are testing them. I think it's about how subscribers respond to them. And if they make your emails look a bit crap, you know, it's going to be lower engagement, it's going to be higher complaint rates, and then your deliverability underperforms. So I think maybe those words still play a role, but not in the way that trigger words were understood 10 years ago.
Totally.
Would you all both agree that using some of those words, let's say the word free, for example, it will actually increase the number of people opening and clicking and engaging with your emails. And ironically, that engagement will help you to stay in the inbox. So is it that even these spam trigger words, I'm not saying to use the really bad words, that it actually might help your deliverability?
I mean, if people weren't sending buy one, get one free emails, if that word free wasn't in there, we wouldn't really be doing a lot of business for those promotions. It can definitely help. If the offer is enticing, put it in there if it's good value.
We've liberated emails. All right, we're going on to the next myth. Guy, I got one for you. So last year, Gmail and Yahoo introduced these bulk sender requirements. And I think a lot of people out there are like, okay, well, I'm doing the bare minimum now. I'm doing these requirements, so my deliverability is good. So first off, what are these requirements? Because a lot of people don't even still know about what they were. And if you are doing them, did you check the box? Is your deliverability now all set?
Wow, we're going to need like half a day, not 10 minutes, but quick answer. So the bulk sender requirements was you needed to publish a DMARC record for authentication. You needed to publish a list unsubscribe record for easy opting out. And you needed to keep your complaint rates below 0.3%. And what's a bulk sender? The common definition was anyone sending more than 5,000 emails a day. So I think a lot of people, a lot of senders were saying, well, we're doing all of that and we're still going to junk. What's happening? Well, the simple answer is, you know, those are just three of the headline stories. There's a lot more which the mailbox providers are looking for. Things like publishing valid DNS records and TLS encryption and ARC records for forwarding and maintaining compliance with Gmail's no impersonation rules. And then you still got to demonstrate, you know, great engagement and remember that the mailbox providers can see behaviors which you don't necessarily have visibility of, you know, recovering emails from junk or sort of organically forwarding them to your friends and family. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on there. And the new sender standards was just the starting point.
So let me toss this to you, Daniel. Let's say you're listening to this and you're like, what? Bulk sender requirements? I never even heard of that stuff. How hard is this to really do? Because a lot of people out there, maybe they're not technical, maybe they don't know how to use their platform. Is this something your platform does for you by default?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. I think when it becomes acronym soup and there's just an alphabet coming at you, it can seem overwhelming. It can seem complicated, but these are actually really simple standards. Your ESP will be able to help you with both the unsubscribe implementation for sure. They're all also going to be able to help you out with DMARC. So just turn to them. This is not necessarily something the marketer has to do. Someone on your technical team is going to be able to help you with that.
Yeah. And the takeaway here is if this is the first time you're hearing about it or you haven't actually checked to see if it's implemented, just do that. I would say 90% of you out there, you're already doing it whether you realize it or not. But if you're not, this could be the reason that you're having trouble for sure. I mean, this is table stakes now. All right. So one last topic before we wrap up this Spamageddon episode. Unsubscribes. People always freak out like, oh no, our unsubscribe numbers are up or we got a really bad nastygram. This must be the reason we're going to the junk folder or spam folder. Are unsubscribes hurting your deliverability? Are they a bad thing? I'm tossing this up to both you.
Hey, I'll go first. So I think, listen, there's always going to be subscribers that want to leave your program. You know, that's natural. Get over it. If they are going to leave, there's two ways they can do it. They can opt out using the opt-out link. If they can't find the opt-out link or it's hard to use, they're going to register a spam complaint. Opt-out as a signal to the mailbox providers is neutral. You know, that's not an issue in their lives. Spam complaints are really bad. They trash your reputation. They make you look like a bad sender and your deliverability gets worse. So as a sender, you should probably be thinking about making it super easy and visible for your subscribers to opt out so that they don't complain.
Danielle, you agree with
Perfect.
All that?
Yeah. Perfect answer. I mean, I just wish that senders cared as much about spam complaints as they cared about unsubscribes. One is hurting you, not spam complaints. The other, unsubscribes, are not.
You know, you just shared something, Guy, that I never really thought of, but I'm going to do this, which is there's always this joke about you can't find the unsubscribe link. It's hard to unsubscribe. But to your point, I think we are incentivized to make the unsubscribe links crazy big, crazy obvious, really easy to find, because if somebody can't find that, then they are going to do a spam complaint. And that will hurt you. So I think the big takeaway here is make sure, don't be afraid of getting unsubscribes and make sure it's easy to unsubscribe, because they're going to find another way to complain, and that way to complain is going to actually be a problem for you.
And can I offer a plea, please? Yeah. People, senders, remove people who have unsubscribed from your mail immediately. Yes. Do not wait the legal 10 days to do it, because that is going to bite you later for sure.
100%. And another thing that should be illegal is Guy putting his fingers in ranch dressing. We've gotten that out of this episode. So any parting words on Spamageddon, our first episode?
Join us for the second one.
Amazing. All right, everybody, go and follow Email After Hours podcast. It is incredible. It's one of my favorite shows. And if you're really bored, check out Do This Not That podcast. We'll see you at the next one. That's a wrap on this episode of Spamageddon, but the battle for the inbox never ends. If you love this crossover chaos, you got to tune in the next time and make sure to subscribe to Email After Hours podcast. It is one of my favorites. And also check out Do This Not That podcast for marketers. It is a blast. We'll see you at the next episode.